Hostem DVTV je Bill Warner, ředitel Centra pro studium politického islámu, jinak americký univerzitní profesor fyziky. Dobrý den.
Thank you for inviting me.
Co je to politický islám?
Best question. Political Islam I define as the part of Islam that deals with the unbeliever, the kafir, K-A-F-I-R. I have no interest whatsoever in the religion of Islam. What's interesting about political Islam is that the part of Islamic doctrine that deals with the non-believer, the kafir, is larger than that that deals with the religion of Islam.
Proč je nebezpečný?
Let's start with the life of Muhammad. Muhammad preached the religion of Islam for 13 years in Mecca and persuaded 150 Arabs to become Muslim. He left Mecca at the insistence of the Meccans, went to Medina, whereupon he became a politician and a jihadist. When he died, every Arab in the Central Arabia was a Muslim. So therefore we see there's two manifestations of Islam, one harmless and the other which took over the society it immigrated to.
Ale kolik procent textu je o džihádu?
Well, let's start with, first off, there are three texts. There's the text of the Quran, which everyone's heard of. Then there's the text of Muhammad's life and the text of his traditions. Now, let's take the Quran, for instance. In the early Quran written in Mecca, there is no jihad at all. But in the latter jihad, in the latter Quran, nearly 20% is devoted to jihad. So therefore, we have no jihad and we have an intensive amount of jihad.
Lze ale jeden ten systém, nějaké náboženství, takhle rozdělit tedy na víru, která nebezpečná podle vás není, a potom na nějaký politický systém, který podle vašeho výkladu nebezpečný je? Není to jeden celek?
Of course, but we need to accept in the wholeness its duality. We need its two, it is a whole unit, but it has two faces, two manifestations. Now we need to see the whole thing. It's just that the part that deals with the religion is not important to me.
Tedy podle vás islám jednak jako náboženství a to nelze v žádném případě slučovat s islamismem, tedy s tím politickým systémem?
Let's divide it like this. Muslims in some cities and increasingly in America go out into the streets to pray on Friday. The prayer is religious. Commandeering the street is political. So in that one act we have a political act coupled with a religious act. But we shouldn't excuse commandeering the street with the fact that they're praying.
Takhle to ale vypadá, že v islámu jako v náboženství, tedy myslím, je vlastně zabudován nějaký vir, který je smrtelně nebezpečný. Vir politického islámu, který je smrtelně nebezpečný na rozdíl od toho náboženství. Jako kdyby v samotné podstatě islámu už to bylo zakódováno. Je to ale opravdu tak? Nepřináší v uvozovkách smrt až člověk, tedy fanatik?
All Muslims agree there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his prophet. The Quran tells us in 91 verses that every Muslim is to imitate the life of Muhammad. I've already given you a brief summation of his life, that he was both a religious man and a political jihadist. Islam is the religion of peace and the politics of jihad. So therefore we should concern ourselves with jihad since it concerns, one of its concerns, is the kafir, the non-believer.
K tomu se dostaneme. Co středověcí křižáci? To nebyli v úzovkách tedy jihadisté?
I came here to discuss political Islam.
Nechcete mluvit o středověkém křižákovi.
I'm not an expert on the medieval crusaders. I do know a lot about political Islam.
Ano,
I'd rather restrict my comments to something I know nothing about. Maybe know nothing about, but know something about. But your question is very common. People want to move the discussion from something they don't know to something they do know. Let's discuss the unfamiliar.
Okay. Respektuji to. Je džihad jen násilný? Džihad rovná se šíření, válka proti káfirům, proti nevěřícím, je jen násilný?
It's a very interesting discussion. There are four kinds of jihad. There is jihad waged with the sword, which is what you see in the news, but it's the least dangerous form of jihad. Then there's jihad of money, using money to influence, money as a weapon. Then there's jihad of the pen and the mouth, the aspect of persuasion. So not all forms of jihad appear to be dangerous on the front end. It appears as though we concern ourselves in America, at least, primarily with the jihad of the sword. But the other forms are actually more dangerous because they seek to persuade and change the very basis of the government of the country they move into.
Dobře, ale praktikují všichni muslimové islamismus, tedy ten politický islám. Pokud jsou to vlastně dva systémy v jednom, tak nemohou si vybrat, jestli chtějí praktikovat víru, která je individuální směrem k Bohu, anebo jestli tedy chtějí praktikovat politický islám jako soubor nějakých pokynů, který je určen mase.
Let us just say that Muslims have more choices than most other people. They can choose a life of propriety and quiet, or they can choose a life of politics, persuasion and war. They have It's like a banquet table. You can choose what you want.
Většina křesťanů taky ale nežije denně podle Bible. Není to stejné u běžných muslimů, co pak všichni žijí podle práva šaria?
Of course not. We only need to concern ourselves with those who do. This is a subtle argument which says the less Islam that a Muslim practices, the better Muslim they are. Strange.
Je tedy šaria už v dnešní Evropě? Je v tom dnešním systému, v tom západním civilizačním okruhu zabudována? Je už tam?
Not formally, but I can only talk in America. It is informally incorporated. That is, Muslims are given special dispensations, if you will. Let's go to England, which I have read about, which is, before the Muslims came to England, there was one man, one wife. But now then, I understand in England that if a Muslim brings in all of his wives, they're all can, for instance, qualify for welfare. So we find that Sharia is being implemented in ways that are not understood clearly. Let me give you another example that comes from America. In America, the textbooks are being rewritten in order to be Sharia compliant. Indeed, some textbook companies have an imam on their staff. This is a subtlety, but yet it's very powerful. It's a political action, not a religious action. Because what it does is it only tells the beautiful side of Islam. It doesn't tell the complete picture. And people are reluctant in public to discuss all of these things. In America, we have something called political correctness, which means you don't want to offend a minority. And so therefore, as we see Sharia become more and more important, the Islamification of the textbooks, we find fewer and fewer people are be willing to speak about it. That's what I am unusual about, as I discuss what others will not talk about.
Sám ale říkáte, že ten systém je dvojaký, že má tedy oba aspekty, mírný i totalitní. Podle vás se tedy snaží šaria, její představitelé, protlačit ten právní systém pozvolným systémem, pozvolnou cestou až potom k nějaké totalitní formě do těch západních civilizačních struktur?
The short answer is yes. We have a phrase for this, which is called creeping Sharia. That is introduction of a slice at a time.
Jaké tedy ve skutečnosti postavení žen v těch textech ve vztahu rovnosti či nerovnosti mužů a žen? Něco jiného je potom třeba interpretace, ale jak je to zabudováno v těch textech, pokud jde o tento vztah muž a žena?
The actual text, when it comes to the treatment of women, is dualistic. Is this a surprise? Let me give you an example. In the traditions of Muhammad, in one hadith, one accounting his tradition, he says, do not strike Allah's handmaidens. That is, don't hit women. But then again, we have other hadith which say, never ask a man why he beats his wife. So which is it? Does a Muslim beat his wife or not beat his wife? But we do know this, that there are Quran verses which speak of wife beating, and in the Sharia text, there's procedures on how wife beating is done in a Sharia fashion.
Jak si vysvětlujete tu dualitu, tu dvojakost, která je nějakým způsobem vlastně zakomponována už do samotného základu toho textu? Proč to tak je? Máte proto nějaký výklad, nějaké vysvětlení?
It is certainly inherent in the system. Since Muhammad is the prophet of Allah and his life is an example of how to be a Muslim, since his life as a prophet had two distinct phases, it is inherent that the doctrine itself would be dualistic. It's just inherent in the system.
Co je tedy cílem islámské doktríny, islámu jako takového?
That all the world should be a place for prayer to Allah.
Kolik procent muslimů je džihadistů?
Well, which kind of jihadist are you asking about? Jihad of the sword or jihad as method of speech and writing and money? Which one do we want to discuss?
Tak pokud vy se díváte z hlediska té své teorie nebo toho, jak studujete islám, vlastně na to, že existují dva Korány, dřívější a pozdější, tak pravda je i taková, že přes 60% tedy vzniklo v Mekce. To znamená, že to je ten mírumilovnější Korán z těch dvou, jak to nastiňujete vy. Proto se ptám na to, kolik muslimů je džihadistických a kolik vlastně se jich snaží prosadit ten systém ve světě tou násilnou džihadistickou metodou, která s tím Koránem z Mekky nemá nic společného.
let's examine an act of jihad, which on the surface is peaceful, there's no blood drawn. We're having an election in the United States, and it turns out that a great deal of money from the Muslims has been put into Hillary Clinton's campaign. So this is an act of jihad, in that they clearly say they're trying to influence the American elections. So is this dangerous in the sense of will anyone lose blood? No. But is it dangerous in the sense that we have a now purchased point of influence in a possible president of the United States? We can have danger without blood.
V čem je hlavní rozpor tedy se západními svobodami a právem? Skutečně jsou ty dva systémy nekompatibilní, nemohou spolu být v nějakém zájemně inspirativním, klidném a mírném soužití?
Let us examine the primary intellectual principle and the primary ethical principle of what I'm going to call Western civilization. The primary intellectual principle is that of critical thought, fact-based reasoning, scientific thought. The primary ethical principle is the golden rule. You treat me like I want to be treated, and I'll treat you like you want to be wanted. These principles do not exist in Islam. Critical thought is forbidden because no thought is allowed to transgress or go beyond the limits of the doctrine found in the Quran and the Sunnah of Muhammad. Also, ethical principles of Islam are dualistic. There is no such thing as a golden rule in Islam. How a person is treated by a Muslim depends on whether they're a Muslim or not. So now let me ask you a question. Can these two coexist? Can authoritative thought coexist with scientific thought? Europe tried this in the medieval times and found that no, they could not coexist. And can have an ethical principle exist if we treat all people the same as we would be treated? Or are there special dualistic rules in which how a person is treated depends on whether he's a kafir, non-Muslim, or a Muslim? I don't see how they coexist.
Nedá se reformovat?
How does one reform something that is declared to be perfect, universal, and eternal? How do you do that?
To tvrdí prorok Mohamed. Že ten systém takový je. Nemohou ho změnit lidé?
I don't understand how. How do you change a man's life? He's the perfect example of leading the perfect life as a Muslim. How do you change that? Do you say, no, no, we reject this Mohamed? That is apostasy.
Chybí v tom systému zcela kritické myšlení? To je vlastně to, kudy mířím tu otázku.
Of course it's not completely absent because no Muslim practices all of Islam. We've already established that. But the principle is that you cannot go outside of the bounds of thought contained in the Quran and the Sunnah of Muhammad. I mean, you're not allowed to contradict the Quran.
Pak je tu praktická rovina těch rodin, které přicházejí tedy do západní civilizace, přizpůsobují se postupně, anebo skutečně dál v rodinách praktikují mírnější či výraznější právní aspekty šarie jako právního systému.
We're beginning to move into a discussion which I call Muslimology, which is the discussion of Muslims. I am specialist in the doctrine of Islam. As to what Muslims do when they come to Europe is up to them. Some of them, for instance, may apostatize. They may leave Islam and go become either an atheist or a Christian. So I can't tell what an individual person would do. Certainly this is true. They have more choices in Europe than they will back in, say, Saudi Arabia or Syria. The question we want to ask is people come in more and more. Let's go back to the Sharia. The Sharia and the Quran expressly say that a man can beat his wife. As these people come to Europe and to America, what do we want to say to them about beating the wife? Do we want to say, well, that is your custom, that is your culture? Or do we want to say to the woman, no, you now live in Europe, you now live in the West, and we will protect you. You may not be beaten as a wife. It's a decision we have to make. The decisions we have to make are far more important than the decision the Muslims make. And I think that that's something we should examine. I, for instance, do not want any man to beat his wife. I don't care what his reason is.
Proč vás jako křesťana, byť nepraktikujícího, zajímá právě islám? Je to tak neobvyklé, že 51% islámské doktriny řeší vztahy s nemuslimy, tedy s káfiry?
Let's address two parts. I have no religion, so I don't know why you're saying I'm a Christian.
Že vás zajímá právě islám?
I've already established that the part of Islam I'm interested in is its political aspects, not its religious aspects. Let me make something clear. I have no expectation of Islamic heaven, and I have no fear of Islamic hell. So therefore, the religion, again, is of no interest to me.
A je to tak neobvyklé, že 51% islámské doktriny se právě týká vztahu muslimů k nám, tedy k nevěřícím, ke káfirům. Je to tak neobvyklé z hlediska toho právního systému, toho, o čem vy mluvíte?
It is very unusual, and that's one of the reasons I find the study of Islamic doctrine quite unique. I maintain that Islam is sui generis, a Latin phrase which means a thing unto itself. It has no analogy with anything else. What seems to be the same on the surface turns out underneath to be very different.
Jaký vztah tedy zakládá islámská doktrína v tom vztahu, řekněme, právním, protože mluvíme teď o právním systému mezi muslimem a káfirem?
A fascinating question. Let's give an example. Jewish law doesn't have anything to say about the Gentile, but it turns out that Islamic law has a great deal to say about us, the kafir. One is that we should be subjugated and that we're inferior in every way. It's not a system I like to live with, so.
Vy nemáte vzdělání v oblasti islámu nebo práva, navíc se tedy nezabýváte, sám se to před chvíli řekl, náboženskými aspekty islámu. Podle kritiku téma zjednodušujete a tím občas dostáváte i nálepku jako islamofob. Vy osobně, jako káfir, jako nevěřící, cítíte se být islámskou doktrínou ohrožen?
If you read the doctrine of Islam, it says that those who oppose Islam can be destroyed. Muhammad had several people assassinated. Those he had assassinated were artists and intellectuals. So if the perfect behavior of the perfect Muslim is to, if necessary, assassinate those who disagree with it, would it not cause some anxiety? And yes, I suppose I am an Islamophobe. I'm certainly called one enough.
Může se Evropa ocitnout pod nadvládou islámu? Není západní civilizace dost silná na to, aby tomu dokázala čelit a ubránit se?
That's up to Europe, whether they want to exist or not. Let's go back to the wife beating thing. Does Europe want to tell a Muslim you cannot beat your wife, and if you do, we'll throw you in jail? Or does Europe want to take the path of multiculturalism, I guess, in which say, well, that's your culture, you can beat your wife? Europe has many decisions to make. Sharia has many things that are contradictory to its inherent principles. I've already discussed the intellectual principle of critical thought, freedom of expression, freedom of conscience. Should a Muslim in Europe be allowed to apostatize and leave Islam? The Muslims say no. What is Europe going to say? Do we want you to be able to leave Islam, or will we enforce the Sharia and say, no, you can't leave Islam? Europe has many decisions to make, and Europe may be strong now, but is it going to be strong in a century?
To, co dělá teroristická organizace Islámský stát, je to islám?
Yes, is a short answer. Have you ever read the magazine Dabiq or any of the productions put out by Islamic State? Let me give you an example. Islamic State takes sex slaves, and everybody's horrified that they use young Christian girls as sex slaves, pass them around amongst men for the purpose of sex. Well, Islamic State is very clear in laying out the doctrine of sex slaves. Muhammad had sex slaves. All of his companions had sex slaves. That is, sex slaves are included in the Quran. So Islamic State, when they practice sex slavery, are they following the rules of Islam? 100%. And Islamic State is very clear in laying out the ideology of sex slaves, that they're being good Muslims. Now, you may think they're being bad people, but they're being good Muslims.
V Česku jste postavil světovou centrálu Centra pro studium politického islámu a taky vás tady citují různá extrémně pravicová uskupení. Otázka je, jestli se nepodílíte tak vlastně na podněcování nenávisti vůči nějaké skupině obyvatel, byť je muslimů v Česku málo, a proč je vlastně potřeba studovat politický islám?
I practice no hate and preach no hate. You said that I have simplified the text of Islam. It is simply my purpose to educate. That is all I do. What people do with it is up to them. Some read it and become angry, some read it and become worried. But I don't know of anyone who's read my material and then gone out and did anything that was wrong. By the way, you've used an interesting word. It seems that in Europe, anything that's discussed as right or conservative is not right, but it's hard right or far right. Just a thing I've noticed when Europeans discuss the right or the conservative.
Náboženská svoboda v západní civilizaci. Mají země zakazovat stavět na svých územích mešity?
I don't know that they should ban them, but I think they should understand what a mosque is and what goes on inside of it and what it purports to be the basis of. I am not for violence. I'm not a violent man. I'm for understanding and I'm for fact-based reasoning. That is all that I do. I try to present the facts of the issue to people and then draw their own conclusions. I cannot tell Czech Republic what to do. That would be pompous of me.
To je to, co západní civilizace nedělá, že nechápe ten problém v té jeho hloubce a vyhýbá se některým otázkám. Není možná ani schopna svým liberálním myšlením některé ty momenty pojmout.
I do think that Islam presents a problem that liberalism has never dealt with. Liberalism has always had at its basis the golden rule. That is, there should be no mistreated minorities, that everyone should be treated equal in front of the law, that there should be freedom of religion, freedom of thought. That is the basis of liberalism. I'm all for it. However, I don't think that we have ever clearly faced the problem that we're facing now, because Islam is strictly non-liberal. So we have people who want to accept everyone dealing with another people who have terms which will destroy the very basis of their belief of wanting to accept.
Já vám děkuji za rozhovor pro DVTV. Naschledanou.
Thank you. You ask very good questions.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.